Good morning, people. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about inside-out congruency, something Vanessa's taught me a little bit about. And we're going to also talk about running away from the lion. It's my favorite giant cat to run away from. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. So let's get into it. Okay, so I wanted to talk today a little bit about survival. It's something I've touched on a lot in different podcasts, but I think it actually deserves its own love in its own podcast. And it's something that many of us sit in for way too long. They say the average person, dyslexic or not, is probably in survival mode close to 70% of the time. On average. So some people are higher than that, some people are lower. The dyslexic, ADHD, mind, etc., kind of sits in it at the higher end of that scale. You know, that feeling of always being on edge, always reactive. And it's kind of like, you know, the lion example you hear a lot, because it's quite true. If you think back to cavemen days, we had to be ready to run away from anything that was unknown. So you hear a rustling in the bushes, you hear some leaves moving, some twigs cracking. Imagine it's night and there's a fire. You know, what do? You know, you have to fight, you have to fly. And you go into survival mode. You either overreact and go and grab your spears and start stabbing at the bushes, which is probably a bit scary and unknown, and sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. And other days you just run, you know, you just get away. Now, this has been happening. This is an old technique to keep people safe, but in the new days, it's being used by human beings for so many other parts of our lives. Now, what makes humans so amazing is our well-developed frontal cortex of our brain, and this is the part that, especially for ADHD, doesn't always work the same way as for non-ADHD people. Dyslexia is more left to right in the fact that you don't use the symbolic side of your brain. And both ADHD and dyslexia seem to be, from what I can tell, evolutions. So positive evolution. Now, people have been looking into this. There are studies starting to go on about this. It's something that hasn't really been looked at properly. But what we're seeing more and more is this wasn't something, this was something that was actually, that existed to keep us safe. You had to have people in your tribe that were ADHD driven, that were more symbolic and could think in a different way, because it kept the group safe. You know, we could move people forward, we could make changes, we reacted really quickly. You know, we were at a high state of alert a lot of the time. You know, and it was an amazing feeling. I heard a talk about this recently, and I loved it, because he said, oh, the dyslexic mindset, the ADHD mindset, was the person who'd go out, just react, hunt down the tiger, come back and mate with the women of the tribe. You know, not to sound too sexist there, but that was just the example he used. You know, that was the old way. But as life has progressed and progressed and progressed, we've kind of come into a time where that same technique is not needed in the same way it was once. You know, we live in one of the safest times ever. Even with all the madness of the world, like Brexit and you know, the stuff that's happening in America, even with all that, we still live in one of the most prosperous times in history. You know, we don't go wanting for anything. If anything, there's too much choice, too much stuff out there that's easily accessible. And what can then happen is we no longer actually have to react to everything. We don't have to run away from that lion. You know, society as a whole has tamed that lion in a lot of places. So what do we do instead? And this is where the dyslexic mind does cause some challenges. Is the human being in general is fantastic at creating worlds inside their minds. They're fantastic at creating experiences inside that aren't actually happening on the outside. And this brings us to that inside-outside congruency. And all congruency means is that balance between what's happening on the inside and what's happening on the outside. Others call it your body feeling and your mind, your body and your mind connection. And what you can sometimes find, what you can really find a lot, is that if your mind and your body are not in line, everything on the outside feels like a lion chasing you. And so what naturally happens when a lion's chasing you is you try and escape it. Now, the lions of today, we don't see too many dyslexics or people with ADHD running down the road screaming, "There's a lion chasing me." That doesn't happen too often. And if so, that could be something more intense that you're dealing with. But what we do see is things that are outside of either our comfort zone or our sense of certainty. And when that happens, we try and escape. We try and run. And you see a lot of dyslexics, especially falling back into negative patterns of routine, you know, otherwise known as addiction. And addiction is a lot broader than just alcohol or drugs. Addiction is everything from you going straight back to your phone to go through Facebook. It's watching TV for endless periods of time to try and escape what's happening in reality because you know it's a safe place. So it's very important to recognize that. I see shopping, over shopping is another thing. You know, sex is another thing that happens to people. You know, all of these places are safe places because at some point in your life, when your body and your mind got overwhelmed, got uncertain, it wasn't clearly connected, you looked for something outside of yourself to bring you some sort of peace. And that's completely natural, but it's not always healthy. Well, it isn't healthy. You know, there are people who have gym addictions that is also an unhealthy way of doing it. The people that go to the gym 7, 8, 9, 10 times a week just to try and get away from the internal challenges or the internal pain that they're dealing with. You know, it's probably one of the healthier addictions. You know, if you're going to have any bad addiction, the gym is always a good one. But it's still not dealing with that inside challenge. And that's what, you know, we're really looking at the moment is how do you deal more and more with that inside congruency? How do you get that mind of yours, the frontal cortex, the consciousness, the, you know, there are so many names for it, that ability that you have to be able to change and to adjust so clearly. How do you get that to start taking more control of your life rather than your reptilian brain or your autonomic nervous system, the stuff that's just set on autopilot every day, doing similar things, looking for similar feelings outside of yourself? How do you bring that inside-outside congruency? How do you get everything working together? How do you slow down that reaction to the lion that's chasing you? Because humans in general are very, very good at creating danger. You know, making things outside of us much worse than they are, creating these pictures of the worst case scenario. Because if you think about it, if you hear rustling in the bushes and you don't create the worst case scenario in your head and you go, "Oh, it could just be a kitten. That'll be lovely. I'm just gonna go and play with the kitten in the bushes." If your mind created that as the picture you got when you heard rustling in the bushes, it's not naturally the most safe reaction. You probably would have been eaten, but quite potentially. So we don't. We naturally go for the worst case scenario. So you imagine your mind is going to the worst case scenario on autopilot. And with the way our minds work is we're much more sensitive to both emotional energy of other people. We're very sensitive to sounds usually. Many dyslexics or people with ADHD suffer from challenges with being in really loud rooms. You know, there's a bunch of things that we may struggle with that heightens these challenges, that just adds another tier of fun and excitement to it. And then when you add in all the stuff around not being great at reading and writing, not being able to focus, all of these things that the world kind of accepts as the norm, you know, it just adds more stuff that you have to be uncertain about. And over time, it just builds and builds and builds. So, we've been working really hard to look at how do we actually help further get people away from this feeling of a lion chasing them. And a lot of the stuff I've been doing, it has been about actually taking time out to breathe, to think, and to not think, to kind of let it all go. Just to realize, just to feel inside yourself that you are who you are. You were perfect from birth. When someone looked at you, or you look at a baby, do you ever think that that baby is not worthy, or is not worth the life, if or they're not good enough? No, you don't. No one's ever thought that about a baby. I'm not saying every baby is the most beautiful. No, I'm not going to go there. But you know what I mean. It's not about that. You don't think that any baby is not worthy. But over time, over that first 5, 6, 7, 8 years, a lot of us were told that we weren't good enough, or that something wasn't right. We made a mistake, or why'd you do that? A mistake. And we didn't understand why it was a mistake. That's a big challenge we've had, is we don't always understand. It's like a cat makes a mistake and you tell it off. It doesn't realize why you're telling it off, because it can't understand English. Telling it, why did you pee on the carpet? It doesn't understand that. So it's like, why are you getting angry at me? So it can't put the two and two together, and we struggle with that as well. So there were a lot of times we were told we were wrong for something that we didn't realize we were being told wrong for, especially at the early years. So all of this stuff builds and builds and builds until we get to a point where we're kind of a muddle of patches of things we've patched into our lives. Vanessa says it really well, as and it's kind of brought this as a key concept of what we're working on, is you start wearing a mask from a very early age. You start being someone you think others want you to be, not who you actually are. And it can be very, very painful. And you get to a point where you truly believe the mask is you. But that mask changes in different situations. If you're around your family, maybe it's different. If you're around friends, maybe it's different. Maybe certain friends, it's different. And this can be really painful. And what we're doing a lot of research into is how do you take that mask off? How do you actually take that mask off and start to be truly happy with who you are? How do you start to alter these addictions? How do you start to alter these reactions that are causing you so much pain? And as I can say, one of the most interesting things that I've been trying recently is longer meditations, which has been really valuable. And I'm actually starting to write some. And I'm actually going to write one. I'm going to record it. We're going to put music to it, and we're actually going to find some people to test it. So I will do a shout out to that at some point. And we're going to see how it works for people and see what people think of it. Because I really want to see people start to get clear and happier. Because I know the feeling as much as anyone, of that feeling of running and uncertainty. And when your body is saying one thing, but you don't trust it, and you listen to your mind, and then your mind says one thing, you don't trust it, you listen to your body, and before you know it, you're just tired. So we are working on stuff around this for you guys. But what I would say, if there's anything you can do, is take a moment, is just really let yourself slow down. A lot of the time these days, I'm closing my eyes and I'm trying to look through my what they call the third eye, or that consciousness. With my eyes closed, I try and actually look through the back of my eyes, and just breathe, and just feel peace. Let any thoughts that come to mind disappear. And this does take practice. It's not an overnight thing. You don't just get your university qualification in 5 minutes. It's gonna not work for you for maybe a month. What if it didn't work for you for a month? Would it still be worth trying it? I would recommend giving it a go. I've seen huge benefits of just starting to notice consciously, be aware of when my inside is not congruent with my external world, when I'm running from something that isn't actually something worth running from. and just taking a moment out and going, okay, that's not a lion. It's not a lion. I'm just going to take a moment. And that it's peaceful. It really is peaceful. That's what I wanted to share today. It's really, we're working heavily on how we can help. And the more I say this stuff, the more I'm getting clearer and clearer on the message and what we're trying to achieve. And I just want to thank everyone for their support. I haven't been on Twitter for ages, and I saw someone tagged us on Twitter back in August with a great post, and that really just made my little heart flutter. So if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's @DyslexiaTruth. I want to say @DyslexiaTruth is us on Twitter, and I'm going to start to use that just a little more. So thank you for your time. I hope you've enjoyed it, and just keep an eye out for those lions. Take a moment. It may just be a kitten.